You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. This is in real life, IRL. It's very exciting. So, Nadia, thank you for being here for our first in-person, in real life episode.
I'm so happy to be here. This is great.
Yeah. So what's exciting for our listeners is that you come from the world of journalism. And you have been a journalist for how many years now?
17 years.
So Rogers, CBC, Weather Network, let's not forget that.
Yes.
And most recently, Global.
Yes, Global News.
Okay, and tell me about your role that you played in those kind of worlds.
You know, it was different all throughout. And I still remember starting out at the CBC. That was my first gig after coming out of community television. And in community TV, you know, you're really building yourself up. Yeah. That was back in the day when we still had community television.
Awesome.
I know so many of them
like
are dying
Wayne's
off.
World, right?
Yes. It was amazing.
Which one were you at?
So I was at Rogers TV Peel.
Okay.
And we had so much fun. So much fun.
So cool.
A lot of great talent in Toronto came out of Rogers TV Peel, including Farah Nasser, who's now the anchor over at Global News TO. And so I started out behind the scenes. As a, you know, just an editorial assistant, you know, floor director, and just worked my way up from there. I was already in my second year of university. So got to report, got to anchor as a backfill, did a talk show, you know, and then opportunities started coming up here and there with Planet Africa magazine and then the Weather Network. And it was really through networking, like a series of connections, that I landed that gig at the CBC. So that's why, this is why I preach networking. It was just a series of connections that opened that door at the CBC. And from there, we just took off.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then Global, which, tell me about your role at Global that you,
So Global News, as a video journalist.
Yes.
Just doing general assignment reporting, which has always been my, I think, my love, you know, throughout my career.
Yeah.
I thought about specializing, but I don't know, there's something about variety. So, so general assignment reporter, shooting, editing, writing, producing, you know, my own content. You really, you really get a feel for it when you do it all. I think within the last, the last 3.5, 4 years that I was there, they took away shooting so that it wasn't so much of a strain, but I was still editing. I still edited all of my stories, wrote them, you know, put them all together.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So while you're in that role, did you have the chance to watch Apple TV's Jennifer Aniston show about the newsroom?
No, I did not.
Have you watched it yet?
No.
Okay.
Should I?
Maybe. Maybe not. It might give you some, like, you know,
PTSD.
Some tremors of, and maybe it's, it was a different, it was a morning show, so it might, the intensity might be different than
shows. So I have to be honest with you, all throughout my career, I've avoided morning shows. I'm just not a morning person. So when I was at the Weather Network, that was, actually, no, my internship when I was in university, that was my first taste of the morning. And so I was doing overnights, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. And it was a grind. And so that was, but you're an intern, right? You want that foot in the door. You want that opportunity. So you're like, okay, I'll do this. And then I got to the Weather Network and it was 3 a.m. to 11 a.m. And I always remember driving back home. I was exhausted, music blaring, windows down, driving down the highway, trying not to fall asleep. And I thought, okay, mornings just are not for me. They're not for me. So the folks at Global, my friends at Global will remember, like, I just avoided the morning show.
Yeah. And tell me about the organization that you're a part of now, representing Black journalists.
The Canadian Association of Black Journalists.
So
the CABJ has been, I think, a work of my heart, you know, a labor of love for the last 5 years, actually. That started back in 2016. But my desire to be part of the CABJ started back when I was in Newfoundland. One day I was walking to work and there were these two white girls who were walking in front of me. And one turned around and she said, oh, look, there's a, and she called me the N-word. And the other girl said to her, no, you can't say that. And she said, oh, it doesn't matter. I call them all the N-word. And that was really a turning point for me. I knew if I was going to make it in this career, that was my first time moving away from home to take a job, you know, in this industry. And I knew if I was going to survive in this industry, that I was going to need some support. At the time, the CABJ had fallen dormant. It had been really active throughout the 90s and the early portion of the 2000s, but had just fallen dormant. And so in 2016, I was at a conference for the NABJ, the National Association of Black Journalists, which is an amazing organization down in the States. They have a conference every year. So I was down in Washington, D.C., and ran into the girl who used to be the student rep for the CABJ. Now she was working in the U.S. And I told her, you know, my dream to see the organization revived. And she said, you know what, the former president would love to hear from you. Sure enough, Michelle Lynch was indeed very happy to hear from me. And she has just been like an anchor for me throughout this whole journey of reviving the organization. And so I, you know, pulled together a team of Black journalists from across the country. And we just rebuilt this thing, you know, starting back in 2016. Never imagined that we would be where we are in 2020 or where we were in 2020 when the murder of George Floyd happened. And suddenly, as an organization, we were really kind of thrust into the forefront of leading change in this industry.
Yeah. And since then, what have you been seeing and feeling throughout this?
You know, it's really like a roller coaster of emotions, because I hear a lot of stories from Black journalists. So you hear their pain, you hear their frustration, you hear their exhaustion. I completely recognize that the work that we have been doing isn't new. Like, there have been people who have been at this for a long time. Yeah. And so I know right now that we're standing on the shoulders of giants and the work that we're doing. Yeah. So I hear from them, you know, their frustration in that it's still taken so long to see change.
Yeah.
In the young journalists, I hear hesitation, trepidation. I hear, you know, that they're not sure. Do I stay? Do I go? What do I do? I also see the folks who have waited for a long time for a door to open and it finally did. In 2020. And so I hear their sense of hope. There's one journalist I'm thinking of in Halifax who for, I don't know, 15, 16 years, he was being overlooked by media companies there. And suddenly we launched a program in 2020. And suddenly, you know, when everything was happening last year, after being overlooked for so many years, he no longer was. Now he's got a full-time job. You know, now he's got hope. And so there are these stories of hope mixed with, you know, the frustration and the pain and the desire for real change, not to take as long as it has, but the realization that there's still a lot of work to do.
And if those that want to get involved or support this amazing organization, how do they do that?
Yeah, so we're at cabj.news. Yeah. And there's a few different ways you can get involved, whether that is volunteering through one of our programs or just making a donation and supporting the work that we do. Last year, we got so much support from folks right across the industry. It was overwhelming. It was unsolicited. And it was really, I think, a testament to us of the work that we've been doing in terms of just building and rebuilding and supporting different generations of Black journalists.
Yeah.
So there are different programs, and if there's anything in particular that you'd like to donate towards, you know, you can earmark your donation at that time on the page when you get in touch with us.
That's awesome. And tell me about motivation. What has motivated you to do this?
That's a good question because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. It's unpaid,
yeah,
right?
We don't, time.
We volunteer. You know, I am a people person.
Yeah.
But more than that, I love the investment in people. And I do believe that if we invest time and resources in people to help them get to where they want to be, that there's always going to be good fruit that comes out of that. Yeah. I think that lends into my bigger picture purpose of just being an agent of change. So whether that is being an agent of change in someone's life or an agent of change in a situation that is long overdue for change, I see the work of the CABJ as fitting perfectly into that purpose,
that's
that
incredible.
Calling. Yeah.
That's incredible. For those that are listening and are on the like PR comm side and they're like, hey, I now have the voice of a journalist. What are some of your biggest kind of advice pieces or those that are pitching right now? What's your kind of like, you know, I'm sure you get asked this a lot of like, hey, what do you look for? What do you like to see in a story?
So I get a lot. I used to get a lot of press releases. get a lot of press releases.
Yes.
But the ones I often paid attention to were the ones where folks had already built relationships. And so I think that's what's most important to me. for PR folks, and it's not just building a relationship when you need a story.
Yeah.
It's building a relationship when you don't need a story. So that when you do, you know, have that great big pitch, you know, you're reaching out, you're giving me a call, or, you know, we're talking. I think of Jeremy once he crossed over, of course, into over Jeremy Hunka over at UGM. And he maintained relationships, you know, with newsrooms.
Yeah.
Of course, he already had that in because he used to be a reporter.
Yeah.
But I just noticed how fostering relationships had a great impact in the way that you're able to get your message across, you know, when you need it.
That's awesome. And what does that look like? Is it like, you know, I know we're living in strange times, but you know, when we're meeting in person, is it just sending messages? Is it trying to meet up for coffee? Or what have you seen really work?
Yeah, I always tell folks that there's no hard and fast rule, but I always go back to my experience as a journalist in maintaining relationships with my sources. So sometimes that's just going out for coffee and just catching up.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's a phone call to say, hey, I haven't heard from you for a while. And, you know, in a while, what's going on? What's new in your world? You know, what's happening? This and that. You know, sharing some insider information. What I always notice is that the relationship has to be beneficial to both parties.
Yeah.
So even if you're not giving me a story idea, give me something.
Yeah.
You know, make me more, make me wiser about your issue, about your cause, or whatever it is that you're working on.
Cool.
And I will always remember you. As a journalist, I always remembered the PR folks who took the time to build a relationship with me. And I was reaching out to them, you know, to have a conversation with them about, hey, this is happening, or I saw this story, what do you think, you know, or, you know, reaching out to them for advice.
That's really cool. And those that are, and maybe you saw the difference between those that were in PR who represented one brand, they were in-house PR, versus those who represented multi-brands. What did that look like for you, even like when they met with you? Would they sometimes be like, I have these six stories to tell you about?
No, it wasn't. It usually wasn't like that.
They didn't open a briefcase and be like, look at our trench coat. Look at all these options.
No, I found actually they were pretty good at being able to kind of keep it more focused on whatever it was in particular that they wanted to do. I don't know if that actually happens, like for the folks who work at, you know, more of an agency. But I would recommend against it.
Yes, okay. Good advice. Good advice.
Definitely recommend against it. But they always kind of took a, the folks that I'm thinking of always took a more tailored approach to say, okay, I've got this story and you came to mind. Yeah. You know, can we chat about it?
That's awesome. And communication wise, like Twitter, email, what do you prefer? Do you ever check the wire, by the way, like the news wire?
Sometimes when I'm strapped for stories.
Okay. Or Haro?
I've never checked Haro.
Okay.
I remember as a young journalist when I was strapped for stories, I would sometimes scan the wire.
Why? Okay.
And every once in a while I'd find something.
Okay.
But as I got later on in my career, yes, social media was a big thing. I'm no longer on Twitter.
Yeah, okay.
So I can't say
you
Twitter.
I've retired
from Twitter. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yes. I've just decided it's not a space for me.
Yes.
LinkedIn is proving to be a good source for connecting with people. No.
And not angry. There's not any angry people there compared
to
Twitter.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, they're not angry. It's very fruitful conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm loving LinkedIn.
Yeah.
But I find, again, this comes back to building relationships. I love it when people just send me a text.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I know it's very old-fashioned. No.
Is that old-fashioned? Texting or WhatsApp? Or WhatsApp?
Yeah. Nobody reaches out on WhatsApp. And I'm on WhatsApp every day.
Yeah.
So personally, I always felt like WhatsApp was more of a cultural thing because I noticed that those of us who come from immigrant families, because your family's often in like Jamaica or Africa or somewhere else, you know, my husband's family is from Cameroon. Yeah. So we're always on WhatsApp to keep in touch with each other. But I notice here that people don't use WhatsApp as much. I don't know. But in any event, sure, hit me up on WhatsApp.
Yeah, yeah.
But a good old-fashioned text message.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, is what I liked.
I like your take on WhatsApp. You can tell if they either have like friends or family in other countries.
Yes. Yes.
Or if they have a group of friends that are both Android and Apple users, they tend to discover that to group chat.
Yes.
And, you know, WhatsApp is the option.
It's much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there's always that friend in the group who turns your chat green. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That one Android friend. So all these years, all this experience in journalism.
Yeah.
Tell us what's next. This is pretty exciting, where you're going.
Yeah, this is exciting. So, it feels like, I don't know, it feels like I've been building up to this, but I am heading over to UGM, taking over from my friend Jeremy Hunka. Okay.
Going brand side.
Yes, going brand side at the Union Gospel Mission to do their to be their manager of communications.
Okay.
Very excited about this. So this is my first time really crossing over, obviously. Okay. But it feels like such a great opportunity to take that newsroom experience, which I think is such an asset in the PR and the comms world.
Yeah,
I've seen so many people do it and do it well.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of other journalists even here in in the metro area.
Yes.
You know, we were talking about Rena here, Rena Bakshi. Yeah.
BC Transit just picked up a journalist recently.
Yeah, Tina Love Green, Catherine Pope. You know, so I'm thinking of these folks who have, you know, Stephen Smart, who have crossed over.
Yeah.
And are just doing great.
Yeah.
You know, they're just doing great. And so there's something to be said for having newsroom experience.
Yeah.
You know, to know how the newsroom thinks.
Yeah.
And once you know how the newsroom thinks, you know how to pitch a story. You know how to position whatever it is your message is.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
So those that are listening right now and wondering, well, how do I find people in the newsroom? Any
tricks
or tips?
how do I find them to hire them?
Yeah.
I know. Somebody reached out to me to ask me the same thing the other day. So again, I think this comes back to building relationships. Because as you're talking to people, you will get a sense. Like I can tell you right now, the folks who are kind of on the edge.
Yeah.
And so you can, you know, reach out to them to kind of see, you know, maybe they'll cross over. But it comes back to building relationships.
Yeah.
You have to be on the inside track.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think these last 2 years, it's been very sad. Like I remember almost every month there was a new
departure.
Like whether it was Bell or Rogers or newspapers, whole newspapers shut down.
It's been a rough year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, just this unrelenting attack against credible journalism with fake news and all that nonsense.
And just this last week, John Oliver's, I don't know if you saw that,
his stab
at sponsored content.
Oh,
so what he did is he made up a fake product.
Yes.
And then, like sponsored content, you can pay to have an advertorial, as they say, or partnership content, and had local news stations cover this fake product. And he was just trying to prove that sponsored content, there is a lack of journalistic integrity on that kind of ad side of things, but where ads and journalism, you know, kind of
crossover.
Yeah.
The problem with so many newsrooms is because they're so strapped, the kinds of checks and balances that I think they would normally do are not happening.
Yeah.
You know, that digging, that questioning of, okay, who's actually behind this?
Yeah.
You know, is this real? That research, they just don't have the time. And so because they don't have the time and they don't have the resources, it's just not happening.
And it's revenue. So it's hard to say no.
It's hard to say no these days.
Yeah.
So I'll always show grace to newsrooms because I know what it's like, you know, to be on the inside. I think at the same time, the public still desires journalists and newsrooms that will do that work.
Yeah.
As tough as it is, as exhausting as it is. And so I think newsrooms really have to take, and news organizations have to take a good hard look at what they're doing and how they're doing it. Maybe we don't have to be as big. Maybe we need to find a way to be more nimble. There's got to be a way that we can still do the kind of journalism that that we need to be doing to catch, you know, to be a better filter against SponCon, and still kind of provide the product that that people want and that the public needs.
Yeah.
We really, I think, you know, it wasn't our election, but the U.S. election, if that didn't underscore the need for credible journalism, I don't know what does.
Yeah. It's been exciting even in the sector recently. Farhan, who was the editor of Daily Hive, went and started his own media conglomerate. You could call it OMG. And and with the idea of getting local news, you know, really good local news.
And really good, hyper-local news.
Yeah.
One of the things that we do over at the CABJ is we have a training program called the CABJ Media Startup Bootcamp.
Nice.
And so we help folks and give them money to build and launch their own digital media startup.
Wow.
A lot of slow journalism, which we're really kind of loving, the you know, the different kind of focus on what they're,
That's incredible. The projects that they're doing. This.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like the next could be the next Narcity, could be the,
could
next,
be the next
Huffington
one.
Post.
Yes.
Thrive Global.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we see it as.
Wow.
Because we really feel like that's the future. That's, I say that's the future, but the truth is that's the present.
How many have you birthed so far?
So we just got out five. Our first five came out in February. Yeah.
And you seed them like a bit of salary, the money to like get a Squarespace template, or I don't know.
Yeah. And I know. I know. We're working on more perks for them. And trying to get more funding now that there's more funding in the system.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of irons in the fire in that sense. But the next iteration of the program comes up this fall.
Cool.
Super grateful to TD for being the lead sponsor on that.
Amazing.
And for supporting it, you know, when
huge.
It was just an idea. Yeah, they've been great.
And then after a year, they can apply for the Digital Publishers Aid to Publishers grant from Heritage Canada.
You got it.
Okay.
There's a lot of other things, I think, that are coming on the on the market now. And even, I think, you can also get charitable status as a digital media startup, if I'm not mistaken. Like the Walrus has digital.
Okay.
I think the Walrus has charitable status, or one of them has has charitable status. So you can start to look at, you know, positioning your organization in such a way that it can actually survive. You know, like it can actually survive.
Totally. And in the trade publications, The Message, which is an amazing publication, is betting on subscriptions, not advertisers, which I think is so cool.
Which I think is good.
Yeah.
I think there's this worry that, you know, like, can I get subscribers? You
know,
will people?
Because their competition
is
Strategy Magazine, which is ads and events, right? And awards. And so The Message has yet to create an award or have an award or run any ads, but it's been this really pure journalistic piece, like publication that's purely editorial.
I think, you know, in order to overcome that fear of, can I get an audience? Can I get people to pay for this content, right? Is people really want to be tailored to? You know, they want to be spoken to.
It's a good litmus test, too, is like, is this a good publication? Will people pay for it?
Will people pay for it?
Yeah.
I think people want content that is tailored to them, that speaks to them, that is relevant to them. Relevance is a big thing, right? Because you have the major companies of the world, they're trying to cater to everyone. And as we've really seen with racialized communities, you can't. You know, you can't be catering to everyone and still cater to me. And so there really is an opportunity if you're willing to hone in. You know, on your audience,
right? Or
whoever it is, know your audience, hone in on them, and really begin to deliver content that they want. I think there's a great opportunity there.
Do you want to highlight any of the five? I know you want. Yeah, you can't say your favorite is of the
five.
Oh,
I know. Let me see if I remember. So
even one is fine, and we can put the links to the rest.
I gotta remember all of them. So there's Caleb Johannes, and he's got 1919. They're based out of Calgary. Tomi Ajele with Afros in the City. They're also based in Calgary.
Cool.
They're doing great work out there. There's Matthew Demera with The Resolve. He's based in Toronto and just getting that up off the ground. Jody Lee Nembard, and she's got Toned Magazine, which is great. She already had it pretty much built, like when she came to us.
Is it exercise stuff, like Toned?
No, no, Toned is amazing because Toned it just talks about the different tones.
Go either way. Okay.
Yeah, she's got an amazing publication.
Okay.
And then there is, I knew I was going to forget the last one, but oh my gosh.
We'll put a link
in the
show notes.
You have to put the link.
Yes, we will.
She will not forgive me. I cannot remember her name.
But you love them all equally.
I love them all. She's it's a Jamaican, it's Julie Mango.
Nice.
Julie Mango.
Okay. Amazing.
Julie Mango. And it's a publication that really focuses on film,
okay.
especially coming out of the Caribbean. So it's really, really niche.
Yeah.
But she's doing great Amazing. Work as well.
So if I'm a media buyer mm-hmm. listening right now, mm-hmm. I've always been, you know, I spend digital ad side. I spend a majority of my money on Google. I spend mm-hmm. a lot on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I've dabbled in Reddit. I've touched a bit in Bing. Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to the media buying side, on the other side, I'm always going to Bell, Rogers, CBC. Mm. I kind of buy from the usuals. But if I'm saying, man, I've heard this kind of D&I thing. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like I should do something. I feel like I want to diversify it. I feel like I want to reach these niche audiences. How do I find these publications? How do I find the ad sellers? Because they probably don't have full-time sales agents bringing donuts to my office and pitching me every week.
No.
Yeah.
I think this is... you know, a great example of why you've really got to kind of get in touch with organizations like ours. We've got them listed all on our website.
Okay, they're all there.
They're all there. They're all there. So you can link them. I'm pretty sure their contact information is there,
too. And they would all have media kits on their sites?
You can go to them. You can get all the information there.
Okay.
We want to, part of our purpose as the CABJ is to amplify them, to talk about them to the Googles and the Facebooks of the world, which we do, to make sure that they are on the radars of these organizations and the other media conglomerates as well.
Yeah, and the big agencies that are buying millions of, media placements, whether it's Globe and Mail or radio buys or TV buys, maybe consider some of these more niche, like APTN, the Aboriginal.
They've got their own
TV station, and they've launched some digital streaming as well. So
and I think we've heard from these companies like APTN and others, the feeling that we've always been here. They've always been there. They've been around for a while.
Yeah.
So I do hope that after the conversations that were really ignited in 2020, that now, these racialized publications, these diverse publications won't be such an afterthought.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Anything else you want to share with listeners? Anything else that you're really excited about?
I can't think of anything else. I mean, I'm always excited about the work that we're doing at the CABJ.
Cool.
We just finished up RISE Conference.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great. So RISE Conference was a joint venture between CABJ and CJOC, Canadian Journalists of Color. The first of its kind, really, a national journalism organization that was tailored to journalists of color. And I'm so encouraged by the feedback that we heard from folks who said, for the first time, I really feel like I've been to a conference that speaks to me.
That's awesome.
So excited to have conversations about, race and racism in the newsroom and, why people are leaving the newsroom, and what can be done about it. Mm. Oh, my gosh. We talked about pitching. We talked about what it's like to be a racialized reporter in a prairie province. Real candid conversations that I think people left with, this space where, first of all, you had the sense of belonging, but also just this opportunity to share, and come together and heal and share and grow and laugh. We also had a bit of a dance party in the middle of the day, so that was great too. So my first, and I don't know about anybody else, especially, for the PR folks listening to this, that was my first virtual conference, like as an organizer.
Okay.
It's everybody's first virtual conference this year, right?
Yes.
Like as an organizer, man, what an experience. You think it's going to be easier?
Yeah. No.
No.
You're still,
no.
yeah. Yeah. And then the tech issues and yeah.
My
yeah.
goodness.
Yeah.
My
Did
goodness.
Did you get Zoom fatigue? Did you feel that screen fatigue?
Definitely got Zoom fatigue. But I think, so we went with a different platform. Stream.
Stream. Okay. There's so many.
I know, right? Yeah. There's so many. So we went with a different platform. They were great.
Okay.
They were fantastic.
Amazing.
And I think because it was only 2 days, lots of energy.
Yeah.
And of course, the content was so engaging.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I was at any point fading out. But we did notice, like as we were tracking our numbers, we noticed towards the end, people kind of got a little tired. So that's where the Zoom fatigue comes in. I'm hoping that's not a problem in 2022 when we go to organize the conference.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see.
Cool.
We'll see.
Okay, I want to bring up one thing. It's a great movie. If people have seen it, I don't know if people have seen it yet. It stars Michael B. Jordan, not Michael Jordan, the NBA star, portraying, I think, one of my favorite people in the world, Bryan Stevenson, which most people don't know about, but he was a lawyer down in the U.S. A friend of mine, Shane Claiborne, pointed him out to me. But what is seen in the movie, and if you don't know the guy, they kind of like allude to it in the movie and kind of touch on it, but the faith. part of his life, which motivated him to do some pretty badass stuff, right? Like he's still alive, which I love today. Bryan Stevenson's still alive today. Like, you know, Michael Jordan did an amazing job portraying him, but like the real, Bryan Stevenson is amazing. So tell me about the role that faith plays in kind of motivating you, or where do you see it playing out in the
in my life? Yeah, in my work. So, you know, I think back to the CABJ and being at this time, and the verse that always comes to mind is, you know, for such a time as this. So I always feel like this this work that we're doing is divine in how it focuses on justice, mercy, and humility.
And that verse is from a Jewish girl, Esther, during a time when her people were being not treated well.
And so to know that I'm here at this moment, I did not know in 2016 that we would be in this moment in 2020. So I can't deny, you know, you know, the hand of God in the midst of all this. Even in the midst of pain, to see what has come out of this gives me hope. It does give me hope for the future. So for me, it has been, my faith gives me courage, you know, to speak. And it has been kind of my source in being able to push forward. Because I have to be honest with you, sometimes it is just not easy. It's not easy when you feel like the progress that you're making is not happening as quickly as you'd like it to, you know, to be moving along. So my faith is my fuel. You know, it gives me the hope to know that I can keep on going, and it, no matter what it looks like today, it's going to be worth it in the end.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for
coming on the show and sharing so many nuggets and ideas, and I'm so excited about for what's next for you at UGM.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm super excited too.
We're going to put the link to all those five amazing publications. Media buyers, you know who you are. Planners, consider some other options. You could try them out. You might be shocked at the prices in their media buy templates, because you may not be used to more independent pricing sections. But give them a try. And what's the worst that could happen? And you may be shocked and surprised at the... you know, supporting something early on, which I think is really cool, because a lot of them are still early days, and
very
and
early days.
Now's the chance to get in on the ground floor.
Now's the opportunity. Now's the time.
And those that haven't seen Just Mercy, I think it's streaming on somewhere out there in
Amazon,
the universe.
One of them.
Yeah,
I'll find it.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I have not seen it yet.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Great movie, and did a great job. You know, if you like that sort of thing, it's more of like a serious movie, but good, but motivating.
I'll check it out.
Awesome. Thanks everyone for coming this week on Marketing News Canada, and we'll see you next time on the show.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.